All right, take your Bibles to John chapter number 1 this morning, John chapter number 1. So we're continuing our series in The Case for Christ, and we're in John chapter number 1, and if you've missed out on any of the sermons, this is week number 4, and so you can go back either on our website or on our Facebook page, and you can look up some of those things. Here's where we've been, the investigation of a lifetime, kind of an introduction. Week number 2 is eyewitness evidence, so the reliability of the Gospels. You know, can we take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and can we really rely on their validity and accuracy? Last week, then, we looked at evidence outside the Bible. So we looked at 4 non-Christian sources. So we looked at the Christian sources in the Gospel, we looked at the non-Christian sources, and now we're going to get into the meat of, you know, analyzing Jesus, who he was, his claims, his ministry, things of that nature, and we're so glad that you're here today. So we're in John chapter number 1. We're going to read the first 18 verses. So if you're able to, our custom is to stand for the opening reading of Scripture. I'll read through the first 18 verses of John chapter number 1. And then we'll open in prayer. The Bible says this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these moments we have together. Thank you for each one who's walked through our doors today. Bless each and every one. I pray that already the worship and the fellowship will have encouraged the hearts of your people today. And Lord, if there are any special burdens that are represented in this room, that you would meet us right where we are, as you promised that you will. Bless, Father, now the teaching of your word. Give us open ears and open minds and open hearts. And may we both learn and be able to apply what you have asked us to share today. And we'll give you thanks. We'll give you praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thanks, everybody. You may be seated. On January 12, 2007, Joshua Bell emerged from the Washington, D.C. metro subway area and set up his violin case. He took out his violin, he set up the case, he threw a couple bucks in there, kind of as seed money, and he proceeded to play there in the entryway of the metro station as the people came in and out. And we've got some security camera footage of that moment. You'll see him. He's going to be on the far left side of the screen. Let's check out about a minute of this footage. Here it is. Okay. Goes on for about 3 minutes, but you get the idea. He's playing, and just people are going about their business, He's playing Mozart. He's playing Schubert. He's doing a fantastic job, but most people aren't even noticing what he's doing. What they don't realize is that he's actually a world-class, world-renowned violinist. And this was an experiment put together by the Washington Post to see if someone from an acclaimed background could go into that kind of a setting and what kind of reaction he would get. I doubt any of the passersby would have known that he was playing a Stradivarius violin that was worth over $3 million, okay? And in all the time he was there, even though that week, 3 days earlier, he had played to a sold-out crowd where the cheapest seat was $100, in the time that he was there in the metro station, he made about $32 from 27 people. The most prominent violinist of that area was there, and people came and went and came and went, and very few gave him any attention at all. Kind of sounds like someone we know as Jesus, the most prominent figure in the history of the world. And people just kind of go along their way. Even Christians sometimes go along the way, maybe throw a tip in the violin case from time to time, just to acknowledge the fact that he's there, but don't ever really stop to pay attention to just how significant and how blessed they were to be in the presence of such precision and beauty as what he was bringing with his violin. The same can be said of Jesus. As we think about the Lord today, as we analyze Jesus, as we look at what the Word says about Jesus Christ. So again, we've laid all of this foundation, and now we're ready to look at what does the Word say? What does the Word say? What are the claims of Jesus? What can we learn today? I want to look at three things about Jesus from our text, John chapter 1, and we're going to jump around a few others in the book of John as well. The first thing we want to look at is we want to analyze his identity. Analyze his identity. What do we learn about the identity of Jesus from John chapter 1? Well, there's two main things that we see. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. It starts out, in the beginning was the Word, which incidentally is how the whole Bible starts out in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here we've got, in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus makes no hesitation. There is no hesitation in his claims as to who he is. Let's look at a couple of those texts. The first one's in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, if you want to flip over a few pages. All of our texts are in John this morning. This is actually part of the text that we used to launch our series a few weeks ago. John chapter 10, starting in verse number 24 down through verse 30. The Bible says this, "So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Okay? I and the Father are one. No hesitation in his claim. I am God. All right? The next one we'll look at is John chapter 14. So just a couple other pages over. John chapter 14. And when we think of John 14, we often think of the first several verses where he talks about being the way, the truth, and life. And we're going to get to that a little bit later in the message. But this is where the story continues, starting in verse number 8. Philip says to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Just show us God. Just show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Jesus said, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." What do we see? Again, no hesitation in his claim. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. I am God. And we come back to that trilemma that we've talked about where he's either lying about what he's saying, or he's a lunatic, he's crazy and delusional about who he says he is, or we have to take him for the truth of what he's saying. He is Lord. He is Christ. He is Messiah. He is the Son of the living God and God. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so now we've got to enter into a little bit of a conversation about what we refer to as the Trinity, because if Jesus is God and God, you know, like how does all of that work? Trinity is actually, you know, bringing together the word for three, tri, and unity. You put those two, tri-unity, put that together and you get the word Trinity, which the Bible teaches, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so when we have this conversation about the Trinity, the first thing that we've got to acknowledge and accept is that oftentimes it can be difficult for our finite minds to grasp the infinite mind of God and the infinite plan of God. There are things about God that we can understand as He reveals to us, reveals to them in Scripture. There are things that we might not ever truly understand. My pastor used to say that the moment we know everything there is to know about God, He ceases to be God. He is infinite and we are finite, and we've got to be careful that we're not allowing that to become the judge over truth. We are not the judge over truth. We are not the authority over truth. Just because I have a difficult time understanding something does not make it less than true. I don't have a clue how electricity works, but I know what happens when I turn on the light switch. I don't have a clue how any of that stuff works back there in the media booth, and God bless those guys that are back there in the media booth with the knobs and the levers and all the different buttons and all the stuff. I don't have a clue, but they make it all work. My ability to understand something doesn't in any way reinforce the truth of something. Truth is truth. So there are lots of different ways that comes into play in our Christian lives, and the enemy uses that to trip us up. There are going to be times when we have to accept what the Word teaches and submit ourselves to that versus being the authority over what the Word teaches. The Bible teaches that God is one, and the Bible teaches that God the Father is God, God the Son is God, God the Holy Spirit is God. And so we've got this little diagram up here on the screen, and we've started putting the notes back at the Connection Center. So these are always on our website. You can always look at them. But we've also got printed copies back at the Connection Center for those that would like to take a copy with them. So the Father is God, but the Father is not the Son. Okay? The Son is God, but the Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, but the Holy Spirit is not the Father. It is one God, eternally existent in three persons. So a couple things we need to deal with. The first off is, it's not three gods, it's one God. Okay? It's not three gods, it's one God in three persons. We also have to deal with kind of an ancient heresy called modalism, which is, you know, God was Father, you know, in the Old Testament, in the old days. God was Son, Jesus Christ, during the New Testament, and now God is Holy Spirit, you know, and so He manifests Himself in all of these different ways all through time. No, there's one God in three persons. In eternity past, it was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Present, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Future, God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. No illustration is perfect. Again, you know, finite minds, man has been trying to illustrate this in a way that brings some kind of sense, but they all fall. They all fall in comparison to what we're talking about relates to the Trinity. A couple that, you know, have been tried, one is H2O. H2O, there's a solid form of H2O, that's ice. There's a liquid form of H2O, that's water. There's a gas form of H2O, that's steam. Now, again, they can't all exist at the exact same time, but they all have the same essence of H2O, and you've got those different things. The sun is something that people have used. The sun, there's light from the sun. There's heat from the sun. There's radiation from the sun. There's one sun, okay? But it manifests itself in those three different ways. Again, they don't come close to really capturing the essence of it, but we take the Word for what the Word says, and that there is one God, eternally existent in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They share the same essence, and they share relationship with one another. This is one of the ones that's always really fascinating to me, is that you have a relationship among the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One of the things we learn from the Scripture is that God is love. Well, you can't have love without there being an object of love. So you know, before we all came around, before, you know, God created this universe, what was the object of, who was the object of God's love in eternity past? It was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, okay? In perfect relationship and harmony with one another in one single Godhead. The same essence, sharing relationship with one another. Moses, writing in Genesis, you know, he tries to capture some of this in the creation account, part of verse 26, part of verse 27. The emphasis is mine. It says, let us make man in our image. And then in verse 27, male and female, he created them. So in the creation account, you've got both plural words used to describe God, and then you have singular words to describe God. And that's man's attempt to try to correlate what it is to have Father, Son, Holy Spirit in one Godhead That's part of his identity. He is the Word. I'm going to post this week, we're not going to go through it, the Athanasian Creed, one of the early creeds from the early church fathers, deals specifically with the Trinity. So I'm going to post this on our church Facebook page. We've been putting a lot of information there, so do check that out. It's 44 stanzas. It's 44 lines. It's kind of a rhythmic telling of this truth, of this belief. And so we're not going to go through it here this morning, but we're going to post that. So take a look at that and read through that, and I trust it will give us some better understanding and some better help as we navigate the issue of the Trinity. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He doesn't say Jesus. He didn't come right out and say Jesus. He says Word, and the Greek word there is logos. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. It's a term that the Greeks used in John's day to talk about the controlling reason of the universe. And so if you're familiar with Greco-Roman culture, there were all kinds of gods, all kinds of, you know, idols, all kinds of, you know, entities that they would worship. But the supreme God, the ultimate intelligence of the universe, they called Logos, the Word. And so when John writes his book, he writes his letter, and he says, in the beginning was the Logos, and the understanding that Jesus is the Logos, that is like, I mean, they're like, whoa. Like, they know exactly what he's talking about and exactly how significant it is that he would be referencing Jesus in this way, not just for his name, but for who he was, the Word. It's one thing to say we are with, another to say that we are. So he was with, the Word was with God, and the Word was God at the same time. He's with him, and he is at the same time. It's one thing to be with someone. It's quite another to be that person. I had a great illustration of this this last summer. So I had the opportunity, as you know, as I was on my sabbatical, and part of my sabbatical was going to San Francisco when the Cubs were in town. And so when the Cubs were in town, I had a lot of fun. And you might recall, I caught that foul ball, you know, and I was on TV. And if you haven't seen it, I have it on my phone. So if you'd like to take a look at it again, I've always got it close by on my phone. The next day, so I had that, I caught that foul ball, I got on TV, that was a lot of fun. The very next day, I was still in San Francisco, and I sat out in the outfield right at the wall. And here's a guy named Tim that I met. He was there by himself. I was there by myself. He coaches a college team down in Coalinga. And he went to school with Brandon Kinsler, who was one of the relief pitchers for the Chicago Cubs. And so he was telling me the story about, you know, going to school with him and kind of following his career. And he was actually texting him while Brandon was in the dugout. You know, they were texting each other. And I was like, this is crazy. I can't believe that I know someone who knows Brandon. So we're watching the game. We're having a great time. And a home run ball comes our direction. And I came this close to catching a home run ball the day after I got a foul ball on TV. Now, I have video of that too, but it's not nearly as cool, because basically what happens is I go for the ball, Tim knocks into me, we both go to the ground, and the ball falls into the field, and the Giants player throws it to a Giants fan, okay? Not nearly as fun as what happened the day before. But he felt really, really bad. He's like, dude, like I cost you that home run ball. And I'm like, yeah, you did cost me that home run ball. Like, that's what I wanted to say. I didn't say it. I said, yeah. He's like, I feel really bad. We're talking about the game. He was kind of stewing on it and stuff. And he's like, hey, how would you like to meet Brandon Kinsler? I'm like, dude, I would love to meet Brandon Kinsler. I've never met a Major League Baseball player before. That would be awesome. So he's like, okay, after the game, we're going to meet up, and you just come with me, and we'll go meet Brandon. So we go down to the area where if you've been to the park, you know, where the visiting team is, and the security is kind of pushing everybody back, and hey, stay behind the bricks, and all that kind of stuff. And Tim is just over there waiting for Brandon, you know, to come out of the tunnel and, you know, get into the bus, and they were going to hang for just a couple minutes. And I was over there, and he's like, come over here. Tim's like, come over here. I'm like, dude, we're not supposed to go over there. Like, they're saying to stay behind the bricks, you know. He's like, no, it's cool. So I'm kind of like, okay, looking around, and so I'm standing with Tim, and they're looking at me like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm with him, and he's with Brandon, and I'm just kind of waiting, you know, and checking it out. And so he finally comes out. He comes out of the tunnel, and I don't have any pictures of it. You have to just take my word for it, because I was kind of like, hi, I'm Greg. I'm from UBC. I almost got a home run ball. You know, I didn't want to take a picture because I don't want to be that guy, you know. But it was such a cool moment, but it was all because I was with someone who was with someone. That was super, super cool. You know what's even cooler? He was with God, but he also was God. That's his identity. He was with God and he was God. We celebrate that today. We analyze his identity. Analyzing his mission. Two things about his mission. He reveals the Father and he provides salvation. He reveals the Father and he provides salvation. There are two pairs of words, you know, that I want to make sure that you get today as it relates to these two points. The first pair of words is light and life. Light and life. The Bible says, in him was life, verse 4, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse number 9, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Constantly, light and life, light and life. He reveals the Father. He brings light into this world, because this is a world that, because of sin, is in utter and total darkness. Now, we don't like to talk much about sin in the year 2019, but friends, we live in a sinful world. We live in a sinful world. We are surrounded by sin. We are surrounded by abuse. We are surrounded by addiction. We are surrounded by relationships that go sideways. We are surrounded by all the kinds of things that make this world a very, very dark place, in the need of light that only Jesus can bring. Jesus came to bring light and to bring life. And it wasn't just light so that he could, you know, show us everything that we're doing wrong and make us feel bad, but to expose the darkness and then to clean it up. He came not just to bring light, not to just expose, reveal the Father and expose all that is wrong. He came to bring life. And we read about the next pair of words that I want you to catch is that he was full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. Verse 14, the word became flesh. Again, this is staggering to the first people that would have read this. The Logos, the controlling, supreme reason, intelligence of the universe, the Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. They wouldn't have had a place to compute that. And we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He gave his life as a sacrifice for our sins. Never forget the reason why Jesus came. He did not come just to be a good teacher. He did not come just to heal people. He did not come just to walk and live in this world. He came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, and that was to die upon a cross for our sins. He paid the ultimate price for our salvation. He is full of grace and truth. He brings light and he brings life, that we might become the children of God. He came to his own, verse number 11. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all, verse 12, who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. By believing in his name, you have been given the right to become a child of God. Will you just kind of sit and marinate in that just for a moment? When you commit your life to Jesus, you become a child of God. If you have committed your life to Jesus, you are sitting here today a child of God. Say, Pastor Greg, you don't know me. You don't know what I struggle with. You don't know my past. You don't know the things that I've done. Full of grace and truth. Believing in his name, we might have the right to become children of God. What a blessing. Amen? Isn't that a blessing? To know that we were in darkness, but because of his sacrifice, we can be saved. So do you know Jesus today? I want to be sure that everyone within the sound of my voice understands, knows what it means to have a personal relationship with God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's not about a religion. It's not about walking in the doors of a church. It's not about giving in the offering. It's not about baptism. It's not about, you know, being raised in a Christian family. It's not about having godly parents and grandparents. What have you done with Jesus? It's not about religion. It's about a relationship with God through the finished work of Jesus. Do you know Jesus? If you know Jesus, you are a child of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You're a child of God. What a blessing that is. John 14:6, I referenced it earlier. It's here on the screen. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That is a very anti-21st century kind of a verse, because we're very inclusive, at least in a lot of circles, inclusive. And this is a very exclusive. If you want to get to the Father, you got to go through Jesus. There's one way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No one comes to the Father except. So what have you done? And the enemy wants to be like, well, what about those people? And what about those people overseas? And what about that tribe? No. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? Have you committed your life to Him? If you haven't, I beg of you to do it today. The last thing I want, before we move on, I want to look at verse number 5, John chapter number 1, because I just can't let it go. Verse number 5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." You know, we live in a really, really dark time, and we're constantly bombarded with the negativity that's associated with this life and our world and politics and government and legislation and all the things that are happening in our world. Can I remind us all that the darkness cannot overcome the light of Jesus? Amen. Can you be comforted? Can you be encouraged? Can you be motivated to know that Jesus is on the winning side? And if you're on Jesus' side, it's going to be okay, not because of anything we're bringing to the table, but we're on the right side of these things because we're on Jesus' side. Friends, take heart. Look at one other text, John chapter 16. John chapter 16, just a few pages over, these verses 29 to 33. I love how this starts. "The disciples said, 'Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech.'" I think I'm going to say those exact same words one day in heaven. I'm going to be like, "Ah, now you're speaking plainly." Because sometimes we read the Bible and we're like, "I just don't get what you're saying here." And then it's going to be like, "Ah, now I get it." "They say, 'Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God.'" So they're just, the disciples are really having this aha light bulb moment. Like, "Oh, now we get it." "Jesus answered them, 'Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world.'" So when you get down and you get discouraged and you're looking at the landscape of what's happening in our world, just know that He has overcome the world. I've read the end of the story and we win. Okay? Jesus is the last one standing, and it has nothing to do with me. It's because I'm with Jesus, and I'm with Jesus, I'm okay. And if you're with Jesus, you're going to be okay. Doesn't matter what they're doing in Sacramento in the legislature. It's going to be okay. I'm not saying we shouldn't care. I'm not saying we shouldn't be involved. I'm not saying we shouldn't be engaged. But don't get so worked up that you lose heart. Church, Christians, body of Christ in America, don't lose heart, because He has overcome the world. Okay, that was all free. That wasn't part of the message. So, all right, number 3, last one. Analyzing His identity. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Analyzing His mission. He reveals the Father. He provides salvation. Number 3, analyzing His witnesses. There's this really important part of this text where He talks about John the Baptist, verses 6 through 8. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light." It says, look, John wasn't the light. Jesus was the light, but He's bearing witness to the light. We can't ever lose sight of who the light really is. The light is always Jesus. I am not the light. Adventure Church of Yuba City is not the light. The school is not the light. The nonprofit is not the light. These are all wonderful things. We love our school and we love rest. We love the nonprofit. We love all these things. But those aren't the light. We bear witness to the light. We bear witness to Jesus. He is the light. Are we bearing witness? Are we bearing witness to the light? You know, we have no trouble sharing good news. You know, when you think about good, we have no trouble sharing good news. You know, if it's our sports teams or, you know, some great thing that's coming out, you know, new trailer comes out. Oh, have you seen the new trailer? It's going to be great. The movie's going to be awesome. You know, family stuff that happens. I just finished a season since coming back from my sabbatical. I did my sixth wedding on Friday night, six weddings in like 9 weeks. And I love weddings. Where's the newlyweds? There they are. Regina, Justin, hey, congratulations, you guys. This is our first service back. Yes, God bless you guys. Did their wedding a couple of weeks ago. Has it been 2 weeks? 3 weeks? Anyway, been a couple weeks ago. And weddings are awesome. Weddings are so much fun. There's so much, you know, smiling and laughter and just, you know, good news. It's awesome stuff. You know, grandkids, like, here you go. Here's mine. Best looking grandkid, you know, in the country, you know. If you want to hear about my grand, I'll talk all day. I'll talk for hours. I'll tell you about everything about my granddaughter. When it comes to Jesus, gets really quiet. We'll bear witness about a lot of things. Are we bearing witness to the light? Now look, not everyone has to bear witness the way that everyone else bears witness, okay? It's not fair for me to ask you to bear witness to the light the way I bear witness to the light. It's not fair for you to want me to bear witness to the light the way you bear witness to the light, or the way that the people around you are bearing witness to the light. The point is, we all need to be bearing witness to the light. Figure out what that looks like for you. Figure out how that looks like as God has gifted you and blessed you and the temperament He's given you and all the different things that make you you. Find a way to bear witness to the light. And I want to be sure I'm being super clear about this. This is for your pastor today. Because as a pastor, I live in the bubble that lives in the bubble when it comes to being around Christians. Okay, I spend 98%, more than 98% of my time with Christians. And I love y'all. I love Christians. I love hanging around with the family of God. It's awesome. But I've just really been challenged in recent weeks that I need to be out there bearing witness to the light. Because when I'm a light with a whole bunch of other lights, there's not much impact that's happening out in the darkness. So I'm preaching to your pastor today. And I've been really challenged and burdened with this, that I've got to find some ways to get to some dark places to be a light for Jesus. Does this make sense? We need to be bearing witness to the light. Matthew 5, 14 through 16, it's up there on the screen. It's interesting, he says, you are the light of the world. And we've just been talking about the fact that we aren't the light. But I think the takeaway is we're a reflection of his light. We're not suns, we're moons. You know, we're reflecting of the light. And as we're reflecting the light, we then become a light. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let your light shine. I think some of us think that people get saved like, you know, you stand next to them and you hope they get it like catching the cold or catching a flu. You know, like maybe if I sneeze on them, they'll get saved or something. No, they've got to see your good works. They've got to see your good works and then not glorify you, not be like, man, you're awesome, bro. You're great. Oh, you want to. No. They'll glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do they see our good works? Are they bearing witness to the light? Are we bearing witness to light? I love these verses because it brings to mind, you know, I was a children's pastor for 7 years. And it brings that song, This Little Light of Mine. And I'm not going to sing it. Sorry. Yeah, I know. Angel Diaz is in the house. Can we welcome Angel Diaz? God bless you, bro. He was He was in the first service, and man, I mean, the pitchforks and torches almost came out at the 9 o'clock service, man. It was like mass, like, you gotta sing. I'm like, no, I'm not going there. I'm not gonna do it. Sorry. But you remember that song, you know, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, you know, hide it under a bushel. There's some children's workers over there. They get it. Okay, when you're doing it with children, it's hide it under a bushel. No! I mean, it's like definitive. It's emphatic. Like, no, we will not hide it under a bushel. How about don't let Satan it out, right? But when you're in children's ministry, they turn to the kid next to them because they want to blow in their face, you know. You know, that's how they do it in children's ministry, okay? Hey, that's what we need to be doing, church. We need to be letting the light shine. We're hiding it under a bushel. We're letting Satan have an impact. Let's be witnesses. Let's bear witness to the light. That's what John did. That's what we need to do. Here's an indicting quote from Gandhi. You may have heard this before. He said, I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. I mean, that just gets us right where we are, doesn't it? We need to let our light shine. Let His light shine through us. Do people see? Guy's obviously a Christian. Do people even know? We're like all undercover. We're in glasses and got special radios. And come on, church. Let's bear witness to the light. So analyzing Jesus, who is He? God in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He came to bring light and life. I love this scripture. Man, I love this scripture. Man, read it again this week. Meditate on it. Get connected to a growth group this week. Come to the huddle on Wednesday. Have opportunity just to unpack this more and talk about this more, what it means for Jesus to be with God and God. Revealing the Father, giving us the path of salvation. It's amazing. But remember, it's not just about the accumulation of knowledge. That's not what we're after. It's about how we can be better equipped to be His witnesses. We're big fans of Bob Goff around here. Here's a couple of the books that Bob has written, Everybody Always, Love Does, and his new devotional, Live in Grace, Walk in Love, which I'm excited to start January 1. He said recently on social media just this week, this quote I thought was really good, and that's me. I met him at Thrive at Bayside a couple years ago. So, and that's how he takes all of his pictures, by the way. Like, if you know, follow Bob Goff, like, that's just who he is. Like, he just drips all of that energy and enthusiasm. He said, we're following a God we can't see, for a lifetime we can't measure, to an eternity we can't comprehend because of a grace we didn't earn. Faith isn't a bunch of facts. Be careful that we not whittle it all down to just a bunch of facts about Jesus. Let's be a people who are knowing and serving and proclaiming not just a man, but the Messiah. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the time together this morning, this whole weekend. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus. Father, as we continue to study Him and analyze Him and figure Him out, and as we start our series here at Christmas time, walking with Jesus for the next 3 years, Lord, just the opportunities that we're going to have to just really see with fresh eyes all that He is and all that He means and all that He claims and all that He's done. We're so excited. But Father, help us as we are in this process, making this case for Christ, that it always comes back to a personal application. It always comes back to, what are we doing with this information? Father, help us to bear witness to the light. Help us to be actively engaged in seeking to be Your light in a dark world. With heads bowed, eyes closed, let me just ask, before we close today, if you're here, and I was talking earlier about, you know, let today be your day, and maybe you've been kind of on the fence, and you've been talking to the ceiling, you know, like, you've been trying to work it out and figure it out, and you say, Pastor Greg, today is my day. I'm making my commitment to Jesus Christ. I don't even understand what all that means. I just know that I'm a sinner, and He's a Savior, and I need Him in my life, and today is my day that I'm going to acknowledge Jesus as my Savior. I'm committing myself to Him. Today is my day. If that's you, would you raise up your hand really quick, just somewhere here in the room so I can pray for you? Is there anybody? Anybody? Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. There's one. There's two. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Let me pray for you today. Today is my day. God bless you. One last question and we'll be done. And again, my hand is raised. Your pastor's hand is raised. We've got church. We've got to be bearing witness to the light. We're praying that the gospel is going to spread by osmosis, and it doesn't work that way. They've got to see our good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven. And maybe you've been challenged today, as I've been challenged over the last couple of weeks, about my role in bearing witness to the light. And you'd say, Pastor Greg, and I'm just asking God for wisdom, that he would help me know how I can better engage in what it means to bear witness to the light and be a better witness, better testimony for the Lord Jesus and for the gospel in my home, at my work, in my community, with my friends, whatever it is. Would you pray for me today, because I need to bear witness to the light? Is there anybody like that? Uplifted hand all over the room. Uplifted hand. Thank you. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand. God sees your hand. God sees your heart. Just, it's that acknowledgement. It's just that cry to your heart that just says, I just know there's more. Help me, Father, in this regard. Father, for these that have lifted the hands today, I pray that you'd bless them, that you'd encourage them. Lord, my hand is lifted, and I need to find strategic and creative ways in which I can be more engaged with the darkness and spreading your light, bearing witness to your light. And I pray for all these that lifted the hand. And Lord, you know their situation. You know their background. You know their temperament. You know how they're built, how they're constructed. And Lord, that they would find a way, find a means to which they could bear witness to the light. And for Lord, these few that lifted the hand, said, today was my day, I pray, Father, that you would bless them, that you would encourage them, give them the boldness to speak to either me or Pastor Jordan or Pastor Jeff, Pastor Brent, one of our pastors, and say, today was my day, Lord, that we might be able to walk with them on this new journey of being a follower of Jesus Christ. So bless each and every one today. Thank you again for your presence with us throughout this whole weekend. Dismiss us with your blessing, I pray, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.